This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, A New Year, A New You.
A new year, a new you. You know, people are mesmerized with the idea that there are new things. People get all hung up over new technology and stuff. We think that in this day of technology that everything we get is so spectacular. New things come along almost every other day, putting new technology of just a year ago out of business. It gets replaced so quickly. There are a number of very interesting new developments in the world of technology that were done in 2014 that are going to affect our lives going forward in 2015 and beyond. Just take a look at some of this. Apple technology introduced something called Apple Play, and that attempts to change the way you buy things. You'll use fingerprint identification to access a default credit card so that you'll be able to select retailers that now will allow you to pay without your wallet. Can you imagine that? Just put your fingerprints down and it'll feed back to a credit card and you'll buy something. And then the U.S. Navy is now playing a very famous game, laser tag. But the truth is, they're playing that game for real. And they have a new system, a laser weapon system dubbed LAWS, L-A-W-S. And it performed flawlessly in tests aboard a ship in the Arabian Gulf in late 2014. It can shoot with lasers. It can shoot down drones and helicopters. And it performed absolutely perfectly in high winds. And the cost of firing one of these deadly laser beams is less than a dollar compared to the millions of dollars it takes to launch a missile. And then in space, a comet was traveling at 80,000 miles an hour, about 300 million miles from Earth, and the European Space Agency managed to land a probe on it. The magazine Physics World called a successful landing the breakthrough of the year. That kind of technology, reminding us again about God's early commentary on human innovative potential. Our early ancestors were building the Tower of Babel. It was the most highly technological thing at the time. And they were all of one mind. They were all speaking in the same language, and they were beginning to build this thing that would get to God. And Genesis 11:6, here's what God says about them, and he says it about us. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And look, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Whatever man can imagine, he can do. With an awful lot of exceptions. We can't save ourselves. The truth is, what's new is not always better. And the truth is, what's new is not always good for society. Think about how many folks that you may know, but around the country, whose credit cards have been hacked, whose bank accounts have been hacked. Think about the fact that with new technology, there is no such thing as a secret anymore. Your whole life is on display. If you don't believe it, look up your own name and see what comes up. You. And you say, but I never told them that. They don't care. They got you covered. So it's not always so good. The new year is not really new. It's just the continuum of time as we measure it. You'll drag some of the same problems and issues that you had in 2014 across the midnight timeline from 2014 to 2015. Just because you tore a page off the calendar doesn't mean that things changed. Doesn't mean your life's going to be all better just because of that. But someplace buried in our spirit, there is hope. A hope that this year will be better than last year. The month of January is named after the Roman god Janus, J-A-N-U-S. He was pictured as a man with two faces, one looking backward and the other looking forward. New Year's Day provides an opportunity to think about the past while anticipating the future. We don't know what the future holds, but as believers, we know who holds the future. I know who holds the future. I know who holds my future. I know who holds the future of this church. And I know who holds your future as a believer, Jesus. The hymn writer Frances Ridley Havergal penned these words to her friends on New Year's Day in 1874. Here's what she wrote. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with Thee. Another year of progress. Another year of praise. Another year of proving Thy presence in all the days. Do you have that kind of assurance that God is looking over your shoulder this morning? We have another year to walk the planet and be His ambassadors. Nothing material that man invents stays new or stays exciting forever. It just doesn't. Creator God, however, has promised that in our spiritual life, there is much new and there is much exciting, all of which lasts forever. Sometimes you think about the relationships we have with people, the people who don't know the Lord. Those relationships end at a gravesite. I have a number of friends and family members who have died, who knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and I know that that grave site doesn't end my relationship to them. I know the day is coming that when there's a grave site for me, that my name will be on there, but I'll be home. Don't go looking for me over there, because I ain't there. I'm home. I have a forwarding address in heaven, and so do you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Some things are eternal, and those are the things that God has gifted us with. His promises never fail. His new things never disappoint. Look at Isaiah 43 and verse 19. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's the God of hope, and He's providing and promising to do something unprecedented in human history. Something unprecedented and life-changing in you. And this is what He's promised, a new thing. Look at Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27, and listen to what He says. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. In a culture in awe of technology, here are two things technology can't do and only God can do. Number one, He can give you a new heart. Now, this is not somebody else's heart. This is not a transplant. This is not a mechanical device implanted in you. This is a new spiritual heart. This is a heart makeover, if you will. It means a new center of affection. It means that you're focused on Jesus and not on yourself. You have a new heart, a heart bent to do good and not to do evil. A heart big enough to let others in. A clean heart, free of sin and guilt and shame. It's a heart of love. A heart you never thought you could have. A place in that heart for people who are not like you. But you can love them. He'll give you a new spirit within you. In both the cosmic and personal sense, what God is proposing is radically new. The God of all creation proposes to live inside of you and live inside of me. He's not the God of the temple. He's not the God in the tabernacle. He's not the God in the cathedral. He's not the God of wood or stone. He's not the God of a denomination. He's not a God in a box, but a living God alive in you. That's radical. Muhammad never promised to be in you. Buddha never promised to be in you. You can take their teachings and absorb them, but the only God that promised to be inside of you is the living God of this book. You have God in your heart and in your soul, making you a completely new person. The Apostle Matthew, under the inspiration of the Spirit, names the one living within each believer. Matthew 1:23, look what it says. Behold, a virgin shall be with Christ, shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. God in you. What a wonderful thing. He's the God of all creation. He's the God who holds it all together. He's the guy that's got the sun, the moon, and the stars in the palm of his hand. He's the one that's wound the clock and keeps it going, but he cares enough about you to be inside of you. Nobody else can be that intimate. Nobody else knows you better because he knows you from the inside out, not from the outside in. People look at your face and they can tell whether you're happy or sad today. But only God can know the reason for that happiness and the reason for that sadness, because he's working from the inside out. Someone wrote, "When I was a child, I laughed and wept. Time crept. When as a youth, I dreamed and talked. Time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I grew, time flew. Soon I'll be traveling on. Time gone. With each passing day, each passing year, our body is growing older, weaker, and getting tired. But your spirit, what's born inside of you because you've received Christ as your Savior, is tireless, and it is without end, and it is timeless." Listen to the contrast found in these verses, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Look what it says. "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." This physical body is getting old. This physical body is getting tired. This physical body seems to get worn down with the cares of life and cares of the earth. But there's a new spirit within you. There's a new entity living inside of you. He is timeless. He is tireless. He strengthens you from the inside out. There's hope for a tired body, a tired heart, a tired mind. Isaiah 40:30-31. Look at these beautiful promises. "Even as the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait," means hope and trust, "upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So God promises you that you will experience a strength from the Holy Spirit to keep moving forward when circumstance, events, situations, disappointment, and yes, even other people try to push back on you. Circumstances, events of life, situations, and people can push us and try to push us down. They can try to keep us down. They can try to destroy our heart and our mind. They can try to take away our joy, but they can't do it because of the Spirit living in you, who is perpetual joy. All you got to do is let them break out. The Holy Spirit will place within you the resolve to hold on to Jesus. In Ezekiel, it says, "Your renewed heart, the new you, will want to follow God's pathway for life. That desire runs contrary to human nature, and it's a sign that there's something new in you." You know, when you come to Christ as your Lord and Savior, the things that really didn't matter to you before matter now. You know, you didn't really want to come to church. Now you don't want to be away from it. You really could care less about God's Word, and now you want to read it, study it, and meditate upon it. You really couldn't stand the church hymns and the praise verses and the praise choruses. All of a sudden, you want to sing them with gusto. What changed? All of a sudden, you now not just have time for yourself, but you have time for bigger things and more important things like the things of God. Now you have a changed heart. God gives you that. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." So what are some of the new things that God has given you? Let me just list 5 for you this morning. Just 5 things that God has done in you. In John 3:3, it says that you will have a new birth, a rebirth, a spiritual birth. Not just living in the material, but living in the spiritual. Not just living in the finite, but living in the eternal. Not just incomplete, but a whole person. Not just physical, not just emotional, not just intellectual, not just social. But now a spirit is born within you, and you will have a spiritual birth. You'll have a spiritual entity living inside of you if you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you ask Him to forgive you of your sin, if you ask Him to come into your heart, and if you desire to follow in His footsteps, He will give you His salvation. This salvation is free and open to all. If you will put your trust in Him, He will save you from the destiny of hell and bring you to the promise of heaven. He will save you and keep you on a path that leads to righteous living, holy living, different living, better living. Romans 6:4, He says He'll give you a new life. You'll be marching to a different drummer. You'll not be following the crowd. You will be swimming against the current, because the things that you will find in God's Word that now appeal to you, the things that were of disinterest to you, the things you couldn't believe, will now be the source of wisdom to you. And as this wisdom speaks to you, you'll find yourself running counterculture. You'll realize that there are things that you can't do that maybe society is doing, can do, and celebrates doing. And you'll say, I can't do that. That's not right. You'll find your joy in things that bring absolutely no joy to other people. And that's knowing that you've got a family of faith and knowing that you're not alone. These things bring joy. So you'll have a new life. Third, Philippians 1:21 says you'll have a new purpose. Think of it. A new birth, a new life, a new purpose. And your purpose is to live for Christ. The verse says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Means a life where you'll serve God and others. It means that you're no longer self-absorbed. Now, let me tell you something. Self-absorbed people are never happy. Self-absorbed people are never happy. More and more polls show this, that people of faith, people who go to church regularly, people who confess that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, are the happiest people on the planet. They are the most charitable people on the planet. They are the most giving people on the planet. They're the kind of people who have a joy in their heart that transcends whatever it is that's happening in their life at that particular moment. And they can persevere. Because of what Jesus wants to give you, you can persevere through the ups and downs. You can discover that there is a purpose to life. And the purpose to life is a life of purpose. You can make a difference. It's not about me, about you. It's not about us. It's about what we can do for the Lord and what we can do for other people that will bring our happiness and bring our joy. Number four, Philippians 4:13 says that He'll give us a new attitude. It says there, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should be can-do people, not defeated, can-do people. We start with what we can do, and we keep moving forward as Christ enables us to do what we can't do on our own. In other words, when you reach your limit, that's where God's limitlessness begins. When you've reached as far as your hands can go, where your fingertips ends is where God's fingers begin. Where you've gone as far as you can possibly go, God hasn't even started yet. And so God wants you to keep on keeping on and persevere, and He will make it happen. A new attitude allows us to look for the good in other people, and guess what? We'll find it. If you're looking for what's wrong with people, well, start with me, and I wear all my wrongs right here on my sleeve. So if you want to criticize me, go ahead. I give you enough evidence. But if you're looking for the good in somebody, you're going to find it. And that's part of the new attitude that God wants us. 1 Corinthians says we look for what's good in people, not ways in which we can find their faults. We're not nitpickers. We're fruit inspectors looking for the good things that people are doing. A new attitude allows us to recognize that worry is futile, foolish, and forbidden. Because nothing changes if you worry about it. 95% of the things you worry about aren't going to happen anyhow. And what can you do about the 5% that may happen that you have no control over? You can't do anything. I love the illustration that says, worry is like sitting in a rocking chair and rocking. All you can do is go back and forth. You can't move forward. Nothing is going to change if you worry. In fact, if anything, worry will diminish your faith It'll sap your strength and it'll fan your fears. It's putting yourself in the hands of the things you fear and not in the hands of the God you trust. John 13:34, Jesus says he'll give us a new commandment. Listen to the words. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It's not the kind of love for just the people who look like us. You know, there's still that sense in which the church is the most segregated place on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Can we love people who don't look like us? Can we love people who don't think like us? Can we love people who don't agree with us? There is a deep and abiding new kind of love that God wants to give you. It's a revolutionary kind of love. It's not found in the poet's rhyme or in the songwriter's melodic line. It's a love that the sex-obsessed culture can't redefine. It's called agape love. Agape love. It's the love Father God had toward Jesus, his son. It's the love he has for those who have received Christ as Savior. It's the love that expresses its essential nature of God. God is love. It's not a feeling. You don't want to be led by your feelings, because your feelings can be so upset by just about anything. They can be railed or derailed just by what you ate. Your feelings can be up and down, and you don't want to stake the fact of your salvation on your feelings. You experience God's love from the actions it produces in you. It's the fruit of the Spirit emanating out of you. It shows itself as love for God and His Word. It seeks the welfare of all people. It works no ill to any. It seeks opportunity to do good. It is a peacemaker, not a peace breaker. It's a love that gives and gives and gives and keeps on giving. Mother Teresa said it well when she paraphrased Jesus' own words. Listen, she writes, "When I was hungry, you gave me food to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me your cup to drink. Whatsoever you do to the least of these, my children, you have done it unto me," says Jesus. "Now enter the house of my Father. When I was homeless," Jesus said, "you opened your doors. When I was naked, you gave me your coat. When I was weary, you helped me find rest. When I was anxious, you calmed my fears. When I was little, you taught me to read. When I was lonely, you gave me your love. When I was in prison, you came to my cell. When on a sick bed, you cared for my needs. In a strange country, you made me feel at home. Seeking employment, you found me a job. Hurt in battle, you bound up my wounds. Searching for kindness, you held out your hand. When I was a black or Chinese or white, mocked and insulted, you carried my cross. When I was aged, you bothered to stop and smile at me. When I was restless, you listened and you cared. You saw me covered with spit and blood. You knew my features though grimy with sweat. When I was laughed at, you stood by my side. When I was happy, you shared my joy." This is the kind of love that God wants to place in us, and God wants us to share with other people. If you want a happy new year and a happy new you, live for Jesus and not for yourself. Get yourself off your mind. Get the troubles out of your head and reach out to help other people. The best therapy when you feel that way is to get out of your zone and help somebody else. Be God's feet. Be Jesus' hands. Be the hope as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to the people who feel hopeless. Go and do. Forget your troubles, reach out to others in trouble. Read and study the Bible to get your marching orders. Pray to hear the word of and the voice of the Lord. Be unashamed to share the gospel to those who don't know Christ as Savior. Allow yourself to be used of God in 2015 and stand back and watch what happens. God's going to give you a new you, a new life, a new birth, a new purpose, a new attitude. Trust him. Try it. He said, taste and see the Lord is good. Try him. You'll like him. Let's pray.
Hi, this is Pastor Bob. Thank you for listening to the Amwell Church of the Brethren broadcast. Each month at Amwell is a theme month in which the service and sermon are focused on specific topics. Some are prophecy month. Some months speak to your emotional needs, while others challenge your mind as we zero in on the Bible and science and the non-biblical worldview so prevalent in our culture. All these messages are chock full of scripture references from the inspired and preserved Word of God, the Bible. I don't think you should leave your mind at the church door. God says in His Word, come, let us reason together, and that's why we serve up an eclectic but spiritually satisfying fare of pertinent topics each month. I also don't think you should leave your emotions at the door, so our music ministry will touch your heart as together we lift our hands to God, singing the beloved old hymns and joyful praise songs. I believe today people are looking for more than just church as usual. They want to touch the face of God and in turn be touched by Him in body, mind, and soul. Well, if you don't have a church home, why not be our guest this Sunday at 10:45? We're located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road, just outside Surgeonsville. For information and directions, please visit our website, www.amwell.org, or you can call me at 609-397-4842.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.